This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, I think we can begin then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we sincerely make dua, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses each and every one of us to make the most out of these last 10 nights of Ramadan, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all to attain Laylatul Qadr, to attain the night of power, the night of decree. Ameen. We are in the last sprint of this blessed month, the month of Ramadan. And along with that, our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are sad with the departing of this beautiful month. And when we look around us, we see what's happening to our brethren in Palestine. We see the difficulty, we see the cruelty, we see the oppression that they are undergoing. And our hearts go out to them. And on the flip side, the pandemic is ravaging. You look at what's happening in India. You look at a lot of places, most parts of the world, they are either in lockdown or in partial lockdown, coming out of lockdown, going into the third wave. So the end conclusion that we arrive very swiftly is that we see fitan. We see trials and tribulations around us. We see challenges. We see difficulties around us. And at this juncture, my dear brother, my dear sister, it's I know it's difficult, it's very hard, and our hearts are drooping. We are in this abyss of despair. We're sad, we're full of grief. But at this juncture, we need to turn to the Quran. We need to turn to the Quran, we need to turn to the Sunnah of Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, for solace, for relief, for guidance. We're living in very trying and chaotic times, my dear brothers and sisters. There's no doubt about it. We're living in very trying and chaotic times. Like I said earlier on one side, you have the pandemic raging. You have all these sicknesses, unheard of, subhanallah, gripping the world. And at every other juncture, you see cruelty. You see oppression. You see evil. You see darkness spreading its tentacles, subhanallah. At a juncture like this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to turn to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this evening, tonight, we are going to be reflecting on a very powerful solution that has been given to us through the Quran and Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Firstly, to put things in perspective, we need to understand that it is within our own hands to bring about a change. You see, each and every one of us, we are going through different trials. We are going through different difficulties. We are going through different challenges. For some, it may be medical. For some, it may be financial. For some, it may be, other related problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Noble Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. Fasad, corruption. Corruption has manifested, has appeared throughout the land and by sea. بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Because of what the hands of the people have earned. ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. So that He, Azza wa Jal, may let them taste part of the consequences, if you will, the ramifications of what they have done, so that perhaps they will turn back to him. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a difficulty, if you're going through a challenge, you need to be aware that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a move that you should turn back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what this reminder is going to be all about. It is about the path of seeking forgiveness. And inshallah ta'ala, I want to try and address this topic, seeking forgiveness, from a slightly different angle. And to do that, we first need to be aware, we need to acknowledge the problem. You see, at the end of the day, you and I, we can easily identify ourselves as perpetual sinners. We regularly commit sins. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our tawbah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our seeking of forgiveness. And we sincerely seek forgiveness from Him, the Almighty, the most forgiving, the most merciful. You have to understand, my dear brother, my dear sister, the consequences of sin, the ramifications of sin, to understand the depth and the gravity of wrongdoing, of transgression, of sin. You see, there's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is an authentic hadith. It has been recorded in the book of Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah. And I want you all to reflect on these serious words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma qal. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he is saying, أقبل علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال يا معشر المهاجرين. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he faced us and he said, O مهاجرون, يا معشر المهاجرون, there are five things with which you will be tested. Allahu Akbar. And I seek the protection of Allah, I seek refuge with Allah, lest you live to see them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's addressing the Sahaba and he's telling them, Ya ma'ashara al-muhajirun, O ya ma'ashara al-muhajirin, O muhajirun, there are five things with which you will be tested. And I seek refuge with Allah, lest you live to see them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on to mention the five things. Number one, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that when immorality appears amongst a people to such an extent that they start committing it openly. If you have fahisha, immorality, indecency, you see all of this happening in the open. People start committing it openly, perpetrating it openly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, plagues and diseases that were never known amongst the people of the past will spread amongst them. Allahu Akbar. The words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desires, my dear brothers and sisters. Your Messenger, he does not speak out of his own desires. What he speaks is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the deen. And look at what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. When immorality appears amongst the people to such an extent that they start committing it openly, they start perpetrating it openly, look at the prophecy of the Prophet. Plagues and diseases, plagues and sicknesses that were الطاعون والأوجع, plagues and diseases that were never known amongst the people of the past will start to spread amongst them. You will see all these plagues, these sicknesses, these diseases spreading amongst the people. So these are the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we seem to be getting some comments on Facebook saying that the volume is low. How is it now? Can you hear better? Is it better now? Let me know in the comments, is it better? Is the volume better now? Just let me know in the comments, please. I've adjusted it. And also just try increasing the volume on your devices as well. The volume is okay. I can hear it loud and clear. So the brothers who are saying that the volume is low, please try to increase it on your devices, inshallah. Because I've set it at max. It's at max, all right? So I can't increase it any further. So I've increased it. All right, khalas, let's continue, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for the feedback. May Allah bless you all. May Allah bless you all. All right. So coming back to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you can see, he's saying that immorality, the minute immorality starts to appear, plagues and diseases that were never known amongst the people of the past will spread amongst us. Subhanallah. Now look at this situation. I mean, think of this pandemic that we are in. It's gripping the world, wave after wave. And the people of the past, yes, they experienced plagues, they experienced sicknesses, but this is, subhanallah, unheard of. Look at the way it's mutating, look at the way it's spreading, look at the way it's gripping mankind, and look at how contagious it is. The fact that we have to, you know, so much of safety guidelines that need to be adhered. And at the end of the day, it's for our safety, and we really need to be cooperating with our local, authorities. Wherever there's a lockdown, please adhere to the guidelines and stay home as much as possible. Please stay safe. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases our affairs, and that Allah brings about a cure, and that Allah takes us all back to normalcy soon. Ameen. Now to go on with the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's number one. And then the next test that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to mention, the next thing from the five things, is that when they start cheating in weights and measures, so in business, in trade, you will see a lot of lying, a lot of corruption. You see, so if it is in a traditional form of business where you have to weigh and sell, they'll start to cheat in the ways and measures. So this can be, you know, based on analogy, you can apply it to almost every industry that you are in. So in business, in trade, you will see a lot of lying, a lot of falsehood, a lot of treachery, a lot of betrayal. And is that not the case today in the marketplaces, my dear brothers and sisters? Is it not happening in today's industries? Today you're scared. At times you have money and you want to invest, but you're scared to invest. Why? Because people are hoodwinking one another. Charlatans, fraudsters, scams going on, scam after scam. So that's the word. You know, here when you look at the traditional word, cheating in weights and measures, you may think that it's not applicable. But don't you think the word scam is familiar? Why? Because constantly we are reading, right? Scam here, scam there, this scam, that scam, scam after scam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on to say, when this happens, they will be stricken with famine. They will be stricken with severe calamity, and their rulers will begin to oppress them. May Allah protect us all. The rulers will start to oppress them. Now, this is why I started off with the ayah. Before we move to the solution, we first need to identify the problem. We need to identify the problem and create an awareness about that. We first need to realize that it is because of our own hands. We are putting forward all of this, subhanallah. We tend to grumble and complain, oh, why is this happening to us? Why is that happening to us? But we need to understand, by the doings of some of us, we're putting everyone into trouble. May Allah protect us and may Allah ease our affairs. So that's number two in the list. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they will begin to withhold their zakah. And the narration goes along the lines of these words. Yeah, أَوْكَمَ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ وَسَلَّمَ. They will start to withhold the zakah of their wealth. And because of withholding the zakah of their wealth, the zakat basically, rain will be withheld from the sky, and were it not for the animals, no rain would fall upon them at all. Allahu Akbar. They won't give out their zakat properly. Today, think of it. There are a chunk of us who don't give out zakat at all. We think, why? Why should I give from my hard-earned wealth? Another chunk of us give out zakat, yes, but we don't give it appropriately. We don't study about it. We don't further our knowledge about the zakah. We just randomly calculate a certain amount and just give it away to, you know, anyone. This is not the way how zakat is supposed to be administered. It's a certain amount from certain types of wealth, and it also needs to go to certain types of people. That is when you have fulfilled your obligation. Let's say you wake up for Salatul Fajr, and instead of praying how you're supposed to be praying Salatul Fajr, you end up doing something else. Let's say you roll on the ground. You wake up at the time for Salatul Fajr, okay? You perform your ablution, and instead of praying two raka'at of Fajr, you roll on the ground. And you're like, you know, this is going to be my Fajr now. Will it be accepted? It won't be accepted. So similarly, zakat needs to be given out a certain way. It's an obligation, a divine obligation, and you need to understand, my dear brother, my dear sister, that percentage of zakat that is in your wealth is not your money. It's not your wealth. It belongs to the recipients of zakat. It is a divine obligation, a mandatory obligation that needs to be given out. So the Prophet here in this hadith, he says that they will withhold the zakat of their wealth, and because of that, the rain will be withheld from the sky. And were it not for the animals, no rain would fall upon them at all. And this has been also interpreted in such a way that you will have rain, but it will rain in places where you don't need the rain. And subhanallah, do we not see that happening? It's raining in the cities where we don't need rain sometimes, you know. But where you have vegetation, where you have agriculture going on, not a drop of rain. And we're stricken with famine, we're stricken with drought. May Allah ease our affairs. The next item on the list that the Prophet ﷺ mentions in this hadith, that they will break their covenant with Allah and His Messenger. They will break their covenant with Allah and His Messenger, and because of that, Allah will enable their enemies to overpower them. The enemies, in other words, our enemies will overpower us. And then the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, unless their leaders rule as per the book of Allah and seek all good from that which Allah has revealed. So you have the leaders of the community, right? You have important people. You have leaders who are leading the community. If they don't follow the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah will cause them to fight one another. We will start to fight amidst ourselves. And is that not what's happening today, subhanAllah? We are fighting amidst ourselves, are we not? We are fighting amidst ourselves. We are bickering and fighting amidst ourselves. When we could unite and do so much of good, instead we are fighting amidst ourselves. And these are all prophecies put forth by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you need to understand the ramifications of sin. You need to understand the dark consequences of sin. You see, the month of Ramadan, we know that the month of Ramadan, the shayateen, the devils are all shackled up. And there is this beautiful spirit of goodness. But this month is rapidly slipping away from us. And we are going to go back and see, that's the thing. We need to really motivate ourselves and remind ourselves not to go and slip back into the same dark abyss all over again. It needs to serve as a stepping stone for us to turn over a new leaf. See, we have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to continue that journey, you know, and keep that momentum. You need to keep going on that same momentum. Not go back again to our old and bad ways. May Allah save us all. The more a person indulges in sin, his heart begins to darken. His or her heart begins to harden. You see, once there was an individual who goes to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu an. You know, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu an. He goes to him and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, inni qad hurimtu salata bil-layl. Indeed, I have been deprived of prayer at night. I find it difficult to pray. So in other words, he's saying, I'm finding it difficult to pray. I'm finding it difficult to do good deeds at night. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunubuk. Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunubuk. You are a man. Your sins have shackled you. Your sins are weighing you down. So my dear brother, my dear sister, if you are finding it difficult to do good deeds, if you're finding it difficult to savor the recitation of the Quran, to relish the recitation of the Quran, if you are finding it difficult to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stand in salah, if you are finding it difficult to give out sadaqah, if you are finding it difficult to give out zakah, see, the difficulties attached to the worship is one thing. Let's say going on Hajj is not necessarily an easy journey. It's a journey with a lot of difficulty. But still, amidst the difficulty, you know deep down you're being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that serves as a driving force. But to despise the deed where you don't even feel like reading the Quran, you don't even feel like praying at all, you despise it, you don't savor it, you don't relish it, then you should know that your sins are weighing you down like a heavy anchor. Your sins have shackled you. And you need to work towards turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and purifying yourself, my dear brother, my dear sister. So like I mentioned earlier on, sins kill the heart. For every sin, there is a dark spot that forms on the heart. And if you don't swiftly polish your heart and cleanse it, the dark spots, like tumors and like a cancer, it'll start to spread and envelop the heart until the entire heart becomes black and dark. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah." Indeed, in the body there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that piece of flesh is upright, if that piece of flesh is good, then the entire body is upright. The entire body is good. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ. If that piece of flesh is bad, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. The entire body becomes bad, becomes corrupt, becomes evil. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to identify that piece of flesh, أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Know that it is the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to purify our hearts. Ameen. May Allah azza wa jal keep our hearts soft and supple, soft and tender, soaking His remembrance, soaking His words, soaking the messages of the prophetic teachings sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was talking about taqwa, he went on to say, "At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, wa ashara ila sadrihi thalathan." He pointed towards his chest and said, "Taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here." So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you understand that the heart is the seat of taqwa. Taqwa is to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of your maker. And you have to understand that, you know, these good deeds, we pray that when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see mountains and mountains of good deeds, inshallah ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions that good deeds do not vary. Okay, they do not vary in terms of their outwardly appearances. In other words, the quality of good deeds don't necessarily vary based on their outwardly appearances or based on quantity. See, some of us, we are thinking of only quantity. You know, how many raka'at can I pray? How much of money can I give? How many Quran can I complete? You see, we are only focusing on the number. You see? See, it's not only about the number, my dear brother, my dear sister. The scholar, the sheikh, he goes on to say that the actual distinction is based on the hearts. Based on the hearts. It is based on your intention. And a good example to illustrate, let's say an individual gives out $1 million. $1 million. And you have another individual giving out only $10. Okay? $1 million, $10. Person A is giving out $1 million. Person B is giving $10. Person A is giving out that $1 million with an intention. In other words, he's doing it for show, let's say. He's doing it for name and fame. He's doing it to be known as a very charitable individual in society, in the community. He's doing it for popularity. He's doing it to, you know, be in the front of certain magazines and whatnot, saying that he has given this much of charity, a very charitable individual and all that stuff. The other individual, that $10, very secretly, full of ikhlas, full of sincerity. He gives out the $10. I ask you, my dear brother, my dear sister, which of these deeds do you think you will see in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, in terms of outwardly appearance, subhanallah, $1 million, a lot of money, right? So much of good and all of that stuff. But which deed do you think will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't think I have to answer that question. And you yourself would answer it. So this is why it is of utmost importance that in terms of our good deeds, we do them with the right mindset, with the right heart, with the right intention. This is how important the heart of an individual is. See, another hadith I want to mention. This hadith is recorded, again, it's an authentic hadith. If I'm not mistaken, it's recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is reported to have said, temptations, in other words, al-fitan, trials and temptations will be presented to the heart of an individual just like a reed mat. You know these reed mats? In some of the masajid you have them, you know these reed mats. They are mats that are woven and you have these reed sticks one after the other. So the example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is citing the hadith is that temptations will be presented to the heart of an individual like a reed mat is woven stick by stick. So in other words, temptation after temptation, trial after trial, fitna after fitna will be presented to the heart of an individual. And the heart that is impregnated by them, that soaks in these temptations, will have a nuqtatun sauda, a black mark put onto it. And the heart that rejects these temptations, these trials, these fitan, will have a white spot put on it. And the result is that there will now be two types of hearts. One white like a white stone, the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will not be harmed by any turmoil, any temptation, so long madamati samawat wal ard, so long as the heavens and the earth endure. And the other heart, black and soot colored, you know, black like an overturned vessel, it will not understand what is good or what is right. It will not understand because it's dark, it's black, it's impregnated with passion, with wrong desires, and it's an overturned vessel. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as you can see, this is how important it is to maintain a pure heart and to stay away from sin. Now another thing that, you know, we are all concerned with, rizq, provision. Yes or no? Every single day, when we wake up, we are worried, we are concerned. How am I to put food on the table? I need to earn X amount of money. Yes or no? Now I want you all to internalize the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad and Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah. It is again an authentic hadith. It is a, you can grade it as a Hasan hadith. The narrator Thawban radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, nothing increases one's lifespan except righteousness, and nothing repels the divine decree except supplication. If something were to, you know, repel or change divine decree, it would be dua. Through dua you can achieve that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, a man, an individual, may be deprived of his rizq, of his provision, by a sin that he commits. So by committing sins, you are restricting yourself from pure provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let this hadith settle in your minds and hearts. I want you to internalize this. But at this juncture, okay, whilst internalizing this hadith, I'm sure a question arises in your minds and in your hearts. You might be thinking, but then, Sheikh, we see people who are wallowing in sin, I mean, in manifest open sin. But yet, they're leading luxurious lives. They seem to have, you know, mansions, if you will, expensive cars. They have access to a lot of wealth. You see, abundance in wealth. Now, as per this hadith, sins restrict provision. Yes or no? So how come they are enjoying all of this? How come they have all of this whilst openly they are committing so much of sin? Openly they have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear brother, my dear sister, I'd like to answer that question with the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and the hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad, and this is another serious hadith. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْتِي الْعَبْدَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى مَعَاصِيهِ مَا يُحِبْ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ اسْتِدْرَاج. If you see that Allah is giving an individual from this dunya all that he wishes whilst he is engaging in sin, whilst he is engaging in wrongdoing, then you should know that this is istidraj in the Arabic language. Istidraj can loosely be defined almost like, you know, when you fish, you throw the bait into the water, right? Now, what does the fish think? The fish thinks, oh, tasty looking bait. And then the fish jumps and basically hooks itself onto the bait. And now before reeling the fish in, what happens is at times you loosen the fishing rod, if you will, to give it a little bit of a slack before you reel the fish in. So this is istidraj, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. You are given some respite. You are let loose to indulge in all of your desires and what your heart wishes. So now you are in this, you know, in this mirage of a fantasy where you're thinking, oh, you know, I have all that my heart desires. Why do I have to turn to Allah? Why do I have to do good deeds? I mean, despite what I am, I can do whatever I want to do and I have access to all of this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions this and then he goes on to read, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. So when they forgot our reminder, Allah is saying this in the Quran, when they forgot our reminder, we opened for them the gates of every good. Every good. So they're enjoying in abundance, they're wallowing in luxury, and they think that they are in prosperity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, we opened for them doors of good until they became proud with what we gave them. And then, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَى. We took them away all of a sudden. And lo and behold, they were plunged into destruction. So my dear brother, my dear sister, a good example would be Fir'aun. Fir'aun, a diabolical ruler, an oppressor, a tyrant. Allah gave him everything. He was one of the most powerful rulers. And what was his end, my dear brother, my dear sister? What was his end at the end of the day? So similarly, you should know that if you are enjoying blessings and you have not turned to Allah, then it's extremely scary. Because at any juncture, everything could be stripped away and you could be plunged into destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take heed of his reminders in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now that we have to a certain degree understood the ramifications of sin, we've understood the gravity of sin, the consequences of sin, it is imperative that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to him azza wa jal in tawbah. You see, when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to forgive you of your sins. Allah azza wa jal, he introduces himself in many a place in the Quran. Inna allaha ghafoor, inna allaha ghafoor. Indeed, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope, do not despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, regardless of however many sins you have committed, my dear brother, my dear sister. Now you've understood the detrimental effects of sin, the consequences of sin, the dark ramifications of sin. Now you need to understand that regardless of however many sins you have committed, if you turn to Allah in sincere tawbah, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to forgive you of your sins. And tawbah is understood as being one of the cornerstones of what it means to be a true believer, a true Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. When talking about, when addressing the believers, O you who believe, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. So as you can see, the ones who are being addressed are the believers, not just the transgressors and the wrongdoers, but rather the mu'minun. O you who have brought in iman, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. In another place, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you, O believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you are victorious and successful in this world as well as the next. So when talking about the conditions of tawbah, they can be broken down into a few easy steps. Number one, being you need to cease with regards to that particular sin. In other words, you need to come out of the sin that you are in. Whilst indulging in that particular sin, you can't expect to perform a sincere tawbah. So you need to come out of the sin entirely. Al-iqla' in the Arabic language. Then you need to have an nadam, regret. Your heart must burn with the regret of having committed that sin. My dear brother, my dear sister, it is better for your heart to burn with regret in this world than to taste the fire of Jahannam. Would you not agree? It is better for our hearts to burn with the regret of having committed those sins rather than having to taste the burning fire of Jahannam. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from the fire of Jahannam. Ameen. So al-iqla' an-nadam in the Arabic language. So al-iqla' abandoning the sin. An-nadam, regret, sincere regret. Al-azm, firm determination and commitment not to repeat the sin. And you need to, at that point, formulate a pure intention not to return to the sin. I hope that's clear. You need to formulate a pure intention not to return to that sin. And the last step, before I get into that step, you also have to understand that At an individual level, this tawbah needs to be done before what is known as the rattle of death. The rattle of death, sakaratul maut. That rattle of death, when the angel of death comes and stands in front of you, and now when you know it's your time to go, because the angel of death is not going to give you even 1 second extra, you will beg and you will plead, but it will not be given to you. And when he comes and stands in front of you, and when the veils have been lifted and you see this worldly life for what it truly is, your tawbah is not going to be accepted at that juncture. So before the rattle of death, and that is a scary moment, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is reported to have said towards his latter stages, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتِ Inna lil mauti sakarat. Indeed, death has its pangs, its rattles, if you will. May Allah bless us all with beautiful endings. Ameen. Ameen. So at an individual level, your tawbah needs to happen before the rattle of death. And at a collective level, the tawbah needs to happen before the sun rises from the west. Now, the sun rising from the west is from the major signs of the day of Qiyamah. You have 10 major signs of the day of Qiyamah. And from these 10 ashratu sa'atil kubra, from these 10 major signs, one is that the sun will rise from the west. So normally it rises from the east. This rising from the west, some of us take it very lightly, but for it to rise from the west, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you will have to experience huge cosmological changes. It's going to be a colossal phenomenon that all of us are going to witness. And only Allah knows how that, certain Allah knows best. I mean, certain orbital tracks would have to change for the sun to rise from the west. Subhanallah. And when that happens, at a collective level, the doors of tawbah will be slammed shut. So your tawbah needs to happen before these two occurrences. At an individual level, before your own sakaratul maut. At a collective level, before the sun rises from the west. And the last step, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is to restore the rights of others. You see, one is you have hukukullah, the rights of Allah that you may have infringed, that you may have transgressed. Now that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most forgiving, and as per the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is more forgiving and more merciful unto us than even our own mothers. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. But when it comes to hukukul ibad, the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your sin is a sin where you have violated the rights of others, then you must seek amends. You must seek to make amends through every possible means depending on the situation. Let's say you have slandered somebody or backbitten about someone to the extent that you have defamed that individual. Now you have violated the rights of another individual. Now you would have to seek amends. Let's say you broke the heart of an individual. You would have to seek to make amends. Because otherwise, this individual can claim his right from you on the day of Qiyamah. And that is going to be a very dismal state of affairs, don't you think so? Where with a lot of difficulty you have accumulated good deeds, and this is why you have to remind yourselves, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're striving so hard to accumulate good deeds, but by backbiting, you know what you're doing, you're transferring your good deeds just like that, subhanallah. You're transferring your good deeds. The good deeds that you strove so hard to do, and on the day of Qiyamah, when you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with inshallah mountains of good deeds, you wouldn't want someone or people to line up and start claiming your good deeds. That's going to be a scary situation. The Prophet ﷺ describes this individual known as a muflis, a bankrupt individual. He will go with a lot of good deeds, but because he has infringed the rights of others, they will all queue up and take the good deeds, scoop the good deeds from this individual until he is left with no good deeds at all. But the line has still not finished. People are still waiting, and don't you think so? Today there are people, you know, subhanallah, you have wronged the rights of so many people. In trade, you have taken, you know, loans and you have not paid them back, and you have taken investments and you have cheated people, you have usurped the rights of people, you have broken the hearts of people. So what do you think? In this world, perhaps you can escape. You can switch off your phone. You can run away to another country. You can hide somewhere, but on the day of Qiyamah, in the court of Allah, where are you going to hide? Where are you going to run away? And they will claw away at all of the little good deeds that you have. And now when you don't have any good deeds, what's the currency? It's not going to be crypto. It's not going to be Bitcoin. It's not going to be USD. It's not going to be GBP. What's the currency there? Al-a'malu salihah, good deeds. Now you don't have any good deeds. Bank balance zero. So now how are you going to set off accounts with these people? Their sins will be transferred to this individual. Allahu Akbar. He started off with so many good deeds, and he will be left behind with now mountains of sins. He is al-muflis, the bankrupt individual. May Allah save us all from such a plight. Ameen. Even if your good deeds are little, my dear brother, my dear sister, let's say you don't have mountains of good deeds, just you're doing a few good deeds, just make sure that your heart is clean. Just make sure that your heart is clean. Make sure you're not backbiting about others. Make sure that you're not infringing the rights of others. And if you do a few good deeds, inshallah, in the eyes of Allah, you are successful. Just make sure that you don't infringe the rights of others. This is what a lot of us, we are weak at, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Because with the rights of Allah, you need to understand, Allah is so forgiving, so forgiving. I mention this hadith all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they were once gathered. A mother is looking for her child frantically. Perhaps they were about to help the mother look for her child. Okay. And then they spot the mother spotting her child. So initially there was fear. There was sadness etched on the face of the mother. And the minute she finds her child, now you can see relief washing down the face of the mother. She rushes to her child. She hugs the child. Brings the child close to her bosom. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they were moved by this spectacle. And the Prophet seizes this opportunity to educate the Sahaba. And by extension, all of us. He asks them, do you think this mother would throw her child into a fire? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was moved to tears. And they said, no, ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, Allah is many, many more times more merciful than this mother is to her slave, is to her child. Allah is many, many more times more merciful to his slaves than this mother is to her child. Allahu Akbar. The hadith of the last person to enter Jannah. This person, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, will almost stumble into the fire of Jahannam. And he will be saved and he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving him from the fire of Jahannam. The last person to enter Jannah, by the way, the last person. And he will see a tree, and because of being so close to the fire, he will pray unto Allah, Ya Allah, let me fall by that tree. Let me, you know, take some rest by that tree. And it will be said, Allah will tell that individual, what will make you stop asking me, O my slave? And this man, this poor man will say, Ya Allah, if you allow me to fall by that tree, that is enough for me. His wish will be answered and he will be granted respite and permission to fall by the tree. He falls by the shade of the tree and he sees another tree that looks even more beautiful. And there's water running underneath perhaps. And is this not the nature of man? He immediately cries out, Ya Allah, can I make it to that other tree? And again Allah will address the slave. Oh my slave, what will make you stop asking me? And this man will say, Ya Allah, I just want to make it to this tree. Again his request will be answered. And he will make it to the second tree. Now he sees a third tree, even grander, with a bigger shade, if you will. Again he pleads unto Allah. Again the question that is asked is, what will make you stop asking me? And the man will say, no, Ya Allah, I just want to make it to this tree. He'll be given permission to go to the third tree. The entire narration goes along the lines of these words. Now he's by the gates of Jannah. And perhaps he can hear the people of Jannah. He can hear them merrymaking, them frolicking, them being happy in Jannah. And his heart yearns for Jannah. And he prays unto Allah, Ya Allah. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address that slave. Oh my slave, will it make you happy and will you stop asking me if you are granted entry into Jannah and if you are given a Jannah that is equivalent to this dunya? The last person to enter Jannah. This man will cry out, Ya Allah, are you making fun of me, Ya Allah? Are you making a mockery out of me? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was the narrator of the hadith, he smiles at that juncture and he looks at the people around him and he says, will you all not ask me why I'm smiling? And then they will all ask Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ya Ibn Mas'ud, why are you smiling? And he will say, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at the same juncture. And we all asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah, our Habib, our beloved Allah will smile at that juncture and he will say, oh my slave, I'm not making a mockery out of you. Rather, I am Allah and I'm all powerful and I'm able to do whatever I wish. This is the last person to enter Jannah. And what I'm trying to illustrate here, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, is the mercy of Allah is ever, ever encompassing. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is imperative, it is important that we remind ourselves of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal at this juncture, at this point, because we're going to seek the forgiveness of Allah. We're going to turn to Allah in sincere tawbah. So you need to understand that Allah is waiting for you to seek His forgiveness. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. Tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Make a sincere intention to turn over a new leaf. As you bid farewell to this month of Ramadan, ensure that you turn over a new leaf and that you don't go back to your old ways. turn over a new leaf and progress towards goodness, progress towards light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us. I would like to conclude the reminder with a dua, inshallah ta'ala. And you can all say ameen to the dua. And with that, we will conclude this reminder. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.